I feel that the Greek people are ashamed right now. You've dumped Nikos, you've dumped Nun, and you spoke trash about Papayannis.
No, I didn't speak trash. I love Papayannis. So you're going against your favorite guy, Theo Maledon. Okay.
Yeah, but Theo Maledon is still on my team. I mean, I'm a Theo guy, of course, but...
There is a bit of a contradiction there, I might say. Because if Theo plays really, really well, Zvezda might not win.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 19 of the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast. I am your co-host, Frankie Sachs, and I'm joined, as always, by Vasiliki Karamouza. And Vasiliki, you know what they say about number 19?
No, Frankie, what do they say?
It's somebody's lucky number.
Is it our lucky number? That's the most important thing. It should be our lucky number at some point.
I sure hope so. Last week, you had a couple lucky numbers. But tell us about who had the luckiest number in our private league.
The winner of our private league for round 24 was Dusan Djordjevic. He amounted 220.65 credits. Like, wow. I was nowhere close to that. But it wasn't a disastrous week, I'd say. It was a so-so week.
It was looking like a disaster at some points there on Thursday when I was watching your coach go down.
Yeah, again, that coach got us hurt me for the second time in a row. The one time I wanted him to win, he lost. And the other time I wanted him to lose, he won. Like, it's always the opposite this time. I don't know. Like, but, you know, the rule still implies, and I will just leave it there and say more later on.
Okay, we'll talk about that later on. I had 120 plus points, which is my baseline. I feel like anything below 120 is a failure. 120 is not great, but that's acceptable. If I get that way, then I'm okay. I had some disappointing efforts. I'm talking about you, John and Musa. But there are a couple of players that disappointed generally last week. So we will get to all that as we go through. What are the matchups that you're looking forward to most this week?
I think an interesting one will be Panathinaikos Fenerbahce, but I'm not sure if we are supposed to get more players from there because it's a dangerous game. It can go both ways. Barcelona Maccabi, maybe. I think Barca is in a tough spot right now after they lost in the domestic league and they need to deliver right away. Maccabi is out of the playoff contention, I'd say, at this point.
I agree with both of those games. And I think another, from a fantasy perspective, a very interesting game will be Bayern Munich against Milan. Especially because of the news that Devin Booker is out. A lot of people have had Devin Booker as their center, so that frees up money. It frees up opportunity for the Bayern front line, which is something we'll talk about. And also the Milan front line hasn't fully come together. There's opportunities there. So from a fantasy point of view, that's one game that I'm really looking forward to and that I have taken into consideration with some of my lineups.
The big question mark is Nikola Mirotic coming back this week? Because the initial prediction said 2 weeks. Those 2 weeks are over. He didn't play in the domestic league, so we don't have an update from Armani at this time of the recording, at least. And it's a double round week, so maybe he's out for the first game and he comes back in the second. We have to take that into consideration, but I think it will be up until last minute, and that may determine a whole other lineup for someone.
They play on Tuesday night, tonight, when you're hearing this. So that gives people the opportunity to do their homework and be prepared just before the first games tip off, and you should have an idea if Mirotic is playing or not, and then there's plenty of time to adjust if it looks like he is not playing.
Let me ask you, were there any players that you thought about buying this week but didn't get them?
I actually have a list of players like that, players that I think are great values, and if I could have figured out a way, or maybe I still will figure out a way. The most expensive of them is Toko Shengelia, who's been playing very well. The numbers have not been super consistent, which is kind of what I hope for. And since he's returned from injuries, 230+ PIRs, two in the teens, but still you're getting a lot of value there. But he's pricey, 15.3. Roman Sorkin, who I wish I had last week, and I just couldn't figure out a way. And I am even now wondering if I'm better off with him over Canan Musa, even though with all my trades, it would leave a lot of credits left on the table till next week or till later this week. Last on the list is Will McDowell-White of Alba Berlin. For 7.3 credits, that's a guard who I would consider and I might still consider. And I like him a lot, especially if we learn that Hermansson is not playing this week. What about you?
We'll go the opposite way. You said Roman Sharkin. I'll say the one player that he may be up against, and it's Chimezie Metu from Barcelona at 12 credits. He has been averaging 17.5 fantasy points in the last three games. I think he's growing more. His role has grown more. Another player that caught my eye last week is PJ Dozier, the new player of Anadolu Efes. We've seen him last year with Partizan. He's doing a little bit of everything. Against Olympiacos, he played 22 minutes. He had 5 out of 8 field goals, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And I heard that Larkin got another injury. So if Larkin is out, maybe this will give him even more minutes on the court.
The thing about Dozier is it's in his second EuroLeague season. He's new to the club, but he went through that adjustment period already last year. He showed a lot of talent in the beginning, but also had some struggles. By the end of the season, he had a much bigger role. And I think that he's ready now to contribute at a higher level. So yeah, that's a player I had not considered, and maybe I will, although I don't think it works into my pricing yet this week, but who knows?
Another option on my list is Kostas Papanikolaou from Olympiakos captain, at 7.5 credits. Olympiakos will most likely be without Wokap and without Vildosa. So I think Papanikolaou will play a lot in the 3 and Fournier will play a lot in the 2 position. So that will give him a bigger role.
He's one of those players who's a far better basketball player and he's a fantasy player.
And yeah, sure.
And that's always my concern. Although, as you put it, there'll be more minutes there. He can hit open shots, and the game against Paris should be pretty fast-paced, so that should lead to a little bit more production for everybody. And at 7.5 credits, it could be a steal. I applaud you on all the players you've mentioned.
Thank you so much. But none of them are on my team, so let's see if you will applaud my options for this week, too.
Before we get to your options, we should talk a little bit about the Byron front court with the injury to Booker. And how you think it'll shake up?
As of now, we don't know exactly what's the situation. It's a knee injury, but Bagger said after the game he's doubtful for double round week, but not the test results have been out yet. Now they're playing against Armani. So that's why I said, will Mirotić be back or not? Because that changed a lot. Because if Mirotić is back, Lede is going to play as a 5. But if Mirotić is still out, Lede is going to play as a 4. And this changes everything.
So speaking of Bayern Munich, I went back and I checked. They played Alba Berlin. Booker was hurt with 2-plus minutes remaining. So the player who came off the bench was Oscar da Silva. And the remaining 7-plus minutes, they didn't make any more front court changes. They played out with Voigtman and da Silva. So there's a lot of value there, I think, for da Silva, who is only 6 credits. I think I'll see a huge spike in minutes. Another player who is worth considering for only 4 credits, Danko Brankovic, who's going to probably be forced into a much larger role. He's capable. Last year, I was fortunate to pick some spots to play him where he had 20-plus points in fantasy. So I'm not predicting that, but I think for 4 credits on the bench, he's somebody to look at. And about Voigtman, for 8.7, like, first of all, it's a turn 1 game. That's a huge bonus for everybody. Voigtman at 8.7 credits, regardless of who he's got to line up against Milan, is going to have a bigger role in the offense. He's going to stretch the floor. He'll probably make a couple threes. He'll get some rebounds. I think for 8.7 credits, that's a player on turn 1 who's worth the risk if it works out for you. If you have Booker and you're not sure where to go, you can downgrade to Voigtman and take the rest of those credits. That would be another 5-plus credits and spend them elsewhere. Or you can look at a lot of other strong centers out there.
I was really looking to trade Eli and Diaye from Real Madrid this time, but I couldn't work it. So hopefully I will manage to do that in the next round. I don't know.
There is a center on Milan right now who's very interesting.
I have told you about him a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so he's played quite well, but I don't believe he's on your team.
No, he's not on my team, but he's in yours, right?
He will be this week, yes. Yeah. Freddie Gillespie, who began his EuroLeague career with Bayern, I think he'll be excited to go there and to show what he can do in a larger role. I think regardless of what happens with Mirotić, he'll have a decent-sized role. And this guy, he's not going to score a ton. That's not his game. It'll be putbacks and alley-oops, but he'll rebound. He'll block shots. And I think at his price, 6.9 credits, he's a player absolutely worth considering. I was considering him before the Booker injury. After the Booker injury, I just think it adds more value. And if you're able to go out there and get value out of your center for 6.9 credits, then it's a blessing.
I have another center who is playing against his former team, but let's go see our trades and I will tell you all about him. So the player I'm referring to is Donta Hall. Baskonia is playing against Monaco. Monaco doesn't have like the strongest centers. I'm sorry to say that because one of them is Greek. George, I'm really sorry if you hear that. But I think he is coming also from a bad game last week. And I think Donta Hall will try to prove something to Monaco. And I think he was really good when they played in the first round. He had 22 fantasy points in the first round game. He has been averaging 18.5 in the last five games. So I think that's a pretty good choice there, even though I thought of Nikola Milutinov as well because of the situation with Mustafa Fall I explained last week. But I ended up with Donta Hall because I traded Devin Booker. I wanted to trade him before the injury news because in the last two games, he hasn't provided as much as I wanted and nowhere near close to his value in the game. So that was like really bad for my team. The other trades I made is I traded Nikos Rogavopoulos because I didn't want to have two Baskonia players and got Jan Wetzel from Alba in his position. He has been averaging 14.3 in the last five games. He had 24 against Zalgiris in the first round. So I think maybe he has a good game in him. He was really good in the domestic derby with Bayern as well. And the other trade I made is Kendrick Nunn for Carson Edwards. I know Nunn at home is the best Nunn, but I think that, as I said before, the game with Fenerbahce is really, really, really dangerous. I saw Fener playing against Olympiakos a couple of days ago, and Sermus Giskevicius' team was like fierce. They pressed me really, really much. So I think Panathinaikos will have a tough time as well, even though they might get the win. So I thought I will go with Edwards, whom I had three rounds ago and he had minus five. But since then, he had 37.4 and 25.3. So I hope this strike will continue now he's back on my team. And last but not least, Jan, you want to say something? Yeah, go.
I just want to say I feel that the Greek people are ashamed right now. You've dumped Nikos, you've dumped Nunn, and you spoke trash about Papayannis.
No, I didn't speak trash. I love Papayannis. I didn't speak trash. I said he's coming from a bad game, and I'm not sure like the matchup with Donta Hall is the right one for him. Like they're totally, completely different kind of centers. The one is too explosive. The other one is like connecting with Nikolathis and like just leaving the ball in the basket, but they're completely different.
They are completely different. I do believe that if you take all the centers in the EuroLeague and say, give me their best version, there is nobody better than the best version of Papayannis. And that would scare me of having any center against him because you just don't know what you're going to get. But when you get his best, he's as dominant at the center as they can. Blocking shots, finishing alley-oops, making threes. He's just unstoppable at his best. Of course, inconsistency is a problem. He's not always at his best. But I would be nervous about Hall. And then the other thing you said, which I would be nervous if I was in your shoes, we all know that the best Nunn is the home Nunn.
Yeah, no, I said that a couple of minutes ago, but
I know.
I don't know.
Last week when I asked you about Nunn on the road, you said, well, you were taking Nunn on the road because you knew that you needed him at home this week.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I wasn't satisfied with his performance. He ended up in my bench in the turn two. He ended up in my bench. And I think this happened with a lot of people because I had to get Goodrich in. I expected him to be better, and he was, thankfully, for my team. But maybe this is not the best move, but I needed to shake up a few things. Like, I don't know. At this point, I have to gamble.
Yes. Well, you know, I spoke about Javi's gambling problem last week. And
yeah, you did.
That did not work out well for him. So just be careful when you gamble.
Okay, I will keep that in mind. And last but not least, I traded my coach, Onutkata's. I say bye to him, and I don't want to see him again on my team soon. I'm sorry about that, but he hurt me 2 times in a row. And I got Andrea Trinchieri in his spot because of the Alba rule, but not only because of that, even though I have been burnt from that rule a couple of times this season. Žalgiris is coming from 3 straight losses, and they're desperate to get a win because they're losing spots in the play-in playoffs contention. So I think this is a game they really, really need to win. So I'm going with Andrea Trinchieri.
I understand that logic. It is a game they really need to win, but sometimes you look back and you say, what was I thinking? Alba just won. They have some confidence. Žalgiris, you know, Lani might be hurt. We don't know what's going on.
He was back in the game. And I think he played in the domestic league as well.
Did he? I didn't see, but he came back in the game and left again in the third quarter. He did not play after that. He was finished in the third quarter. But still, that's a game that I'm staying away from, even though I said this last week when you guys took Katash. If you're able to get a coach at 4 credits, is that what you can get taken care of right now? Then and you can get points, that's great. But there's always that risk that for 4 credits, you lose points. And that's something I try to avoid at all costs. So I'm staying away from that game.
At this point, there are very few players and coaches that enable, like, not zero risk, but very minimum risk, like Sasa Vazenkov. But I can think, like, 5 Sats players or 2 or 3 Sats coaches.
No, this is a very tough week for coaches. It's true. There's not a lot of matchups that I can look at and say that I am confident that I'm going to get my points here. So I just tried to find the one that I was most confident in.
Which is?
I'm going with Sporopoulos. I'm going with Zvezda coming off the derby win against Asvel. That's my move. I did think about Bartsokas because there's nothing good. And I do think that Olympiakos in good form is going to come pull out a win in Paris. But playing in Paris makes me nervous. And that the whole matchup there made me nervous, even though I really could have used I wanted to make more moves with my roster and I didn't want to change coaches, but I couldn't do it. So I think Bartsokas is a fair gamble, but I'm going with Sporopoulos, and I think the Zvezda at home against Asvel is the best pick for coach this week.
So you're going against your favorite guy, Theo Maledon. Okay.
Yeah, but Theo Maledon is still on my team. I mean, I'm a Theo guy, of course, but
there's a bit of a contradiction there, I might say, because if Theo plays really, really well, Zvezda might not win.
This is true, and I expect Theo, but Theo could play very, very well, and Vesna could still win. In fact, I normally would not want to have that many players going against Zvezda. They're a team that can make things difficult for you with their depth. But Theo is one of those players for me in the upper echelon of consistency, along with Vazenkov, who I think you can have at any point. In fact, last week it turned out to be the wrong choice, but after he had 24. In a PR 24 losing effort, I kept him as my captain, and I did not go to Vazenkov, which turned out to be a mistake. But yeah. I thought that Olympiakos was going to have a rollover win against Efes, and that might keep Vazenkov's minutes down, and he wouldn't have such a big game. I wish I had done it, although it didn't cost me. It cost me maybe, in the end, eight points or so. It wasn't the end of the world. But I'm a big believer in Maledon. I think he could still have a big game against Zvezda, and Zvezda can still win. And that's what I'm predicting.
So you traded Bartsokas for Sporopoulos, you kept Maledon. Which are the other 3 trades you made?
Well, I said I got rid of Matt Strazel. That's your guy.
Come on!
Yeah, he wasn't so great
Matt
last week either.
Matt Strazel is self-explanatory at this point. I don't even have to defend his game anymore.
Well, last week was a
mediocre
game.
And you just go and trade him.
Well, you'll see what I had to pick up. There were players I needed to pick up. Matt Morgan, who also I think is good value for Virtus, but I needed, you know, you've got to get good players. Sometimes you have to get rid of good players. And Tyreek Jones. And the players that I brought in are Freddie Gillespie at center, who gave me that change from Jones to Gillespie, gave me a lot more credits. Tamir Blatt, who was not the Maccabi player I wanted most. I wanted Sorokin, but I couldn't make it go without. The puzzles just didn't fit, but I think that Tamir Blatt is still in good form and someone to have. And then at home, got to have Kendrick Nunn.
Oh, Nunn at home. Okay.
Yeah, it's a must.
I respect your choice to trade Matt Strazel then. Because yeah. We need to balance things out because I sold Kendrick, so you, at least you got him. So we are good there. People are not going to hate us. Me, maybe a little bit, but I don't know.
Just be careful. Put on a mask when you walk out in the streets.
I'm going to be in Oaxaca.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there. So
be careful.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I will witness Kendrick score like 30 points and I don't have him on my team. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm all for that.
I'm not. Not at all. Anyways, let's go see the full lineups.
So at center, I'm keeping David McCormick, who had his best game this season against Jalgiris in a game that Alba was blown out. I think it's a good matchup for him. And I love the fact that I have both of my centers who are not high-priced centers. McCormick's 9.3, but they're both going turn one. So that allows me to pick the best center. You know, it'd be wonderful if they both give me 25 points. But if they don't, I pick the best one. The other one goes to the bench. There's no doubts about it. My starting forward is Musa. My starting guards are Nunn and Maledon. And I have David Leite on the bench. That gives me 6 turn one players. And it's easy to make see who does well and figure out what to do in turn two. And at turn two, I've got Tamir Blatt, Sasha Vezenkov, Dario Brizuela, who I think is a player who, if you don't have him, I don't understand why at this point. And Joel Parra, who I wish he was a turn one player, but he's my 4 credit guy who I hope I don't have to use just because of the risk involved there. He's playing a lot better in the Spanish league than he is in the EuroLeague. But he's a rotation player in the EuroLeague, and for 4 credits, the potential to give a lot more than some players that I see at 4 credits who give 0. And Coach Farabalus. So that's my lineup. Let's see yours.
Yeah, so I have Donald Hall as a center. I have Elden Diaye, who plays in T1, but I'm not sure like if I even have to make that. At this point, I don't think he's going to have like more than 10. So he's going to end up in my bench anyway. So I don't know if he's getting in. Of course, I have Sasa Vezenkov and Philippe Petrushev at forwards. Like, this duo is amazing. They always get the job done. So they're staying there. And for my guards, I have Carson Edwards and Marco Guduric, both playing in T1. Matt Strazel, of course, he's still on my team. Jan Wetzel, as I said, who I got this week. And Tim Snyder, also from Alba. He's cheap and he has been there. He's not that bad. Like, he has some ups and downs, but he can give you more than 10, which is wonderful to have in your bench for someone who costs like 5 credits. And last but not least, I have Dario Brizuela, as you said. He has been playing really well and a lot lately. So yeah, he's staying there. No need to trade him. And of course, Coach Andrea Trinchieri.
Yeah, Tim Schneider is an outstanding turn one player. He's a player who's not expensive. He's inconsistent, but when you land on a big game from him, he blows away his price. So I applaud that.
Captain situation, yeah. I think I will go with. I have 3 really good choices, like for T1. Carson Edwards, Marco Guduric, Philippe Petrushev. They all can provide if they're on their night. I think I will go with Petrushev, maybe. But most probably I will end up with Vezenkov anyway, who plays in T2. So, yeah. I'm leaning towards Petrushev for T1, though. What about you?
I'm a Theo guy, so... Even though
I have
Kendrick Nunn, Theo is my captain. The only question comes like last week. What is the number that Theo has to get to for me to not go with Vezenkov in turn two? Last week, I thought 24 was that number, and I was wrong. I'm not sure what Vezenkov's baseline is this week against Paris. I think I'll want more than 24 for Theo. I'm not sure. I'll see how I feel. I'm not as much of a gambler as you and Javi are, So there's, I'll have to figure that out come Wednesday morning. But
trust in Vezenkov more than everybody else is not that much of a gamble from what we've seen so far, though.
But sometimes it's a play when it's a superstar. It's not about what they're capable of doing. It's what the team needs from them. And, you know, especially in a double week, if they don't need so much from Vezenkov, maybe they rest him a little bit for the second game. So that's where you have to figure it out.
Okay, so everything is settled for this double round. We won't have another episode, so we will inform everybody on X about the trades we make for round 26. And tell us about the rivalry series games of this week.
Well, first, tell us what games you're going to be at this week.
Pan is playing two games at home. Ol is playing two games away, so I will be in Oaxaca for both games. Panathinaikos against Fenerbahce and Panathinaikos against Anadolu Efes. Two really good games, I hope. Hopefully the win will land with the Greens. But we will see.
Well, you hit on one of the first of the rivalry series games of the week, which is Panathinaikos against Fenerbahce. That should be an outstanding game. It's a fantasy game that maybe some people are nervous about, but we all know none at home. You don't have to worry about having none. And the round 26 rivalry series game of the week is Barcelona against Olympiacos. So that's also some question mark, maybe fantasy-wise, maybe not. Maybe a big game for Vezenkov when he comes to Barcelona. We'll see. But those are two exciting games. Make sure you watch them on EuroLeague TV. So you won't see us here for the next couple of weeks because there's a break after this week's two rounds of games. So the podcast will be on a hiatus next week and the week after before we return, unless we decide to squeeze in maybe a bonus episode. But feel free to interact with us at all times. And we thank you for everyone who's watching the podcast. The numbers have been great. The podcast is not only available on YouTube, but also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and wherever podcasts can be heard. So we thank you for watching. We ask you just like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, tell your friends about the podcast, wherever it is that you're listening or watching. I will see you again in just a few weeks.